tonight. 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17, and I am blessed to be a friend of Brother Jacob Rutledge. And, you know, he always talks about preaching his friends. Would you really preach somebody that's not your friend? You know, I'm going to preach my enemy over here. He hates my guts, and I don't believe anything that he says, but the Lord laid him on my heart this morning to preach. I don't think that ever happens, you know, but at least not in Baptist churches. I don't know. But anyway, thank you, church, for taking good care of us as we've been here. And we love you men, love your families, and I don't know all of you very well. Some of you I know of you. I've heard you preach many times, but you've always been a help to me. 2 Kings chapter number 17, I want to give you what the Lord laid on my heart, which is unusual for me. This message, you know, being a pastor, one of the blessings of being able to be a pastor is when you preach somewhere else, you usually get to preach something a second time. And so you get to perfect it. If you messed up the first time, then you know where to correct things and not say what you did say that offended half the crowd and all of that. Well, this is a first-time message for me, and tonight at church, it will be a second time for my people. So they'll get the better dose of it. But 2 Kings chapter number 17, I have been preaching out of this chapter over the last several services in our church. And when you find your place, let's go ahead and stand, stretch your legs one more time. We have the capital of Israel has finally been overtaken by Assyria. So Israel is being taken into Assyrian captivity. The Bible tells us in verse number 6 of 2 Kings that in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. And then there's a parenthetical explanation of what led up to this in verse 7 through 23. And then the story picks up again where it left off in verse 24. The Bible says, "And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Shepar Vaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them and slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, Carry thither one of the priests, whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests, whom they had carried away from Samaria, came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt." Father, I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word, and I thank you for your people. And Lord, we stand before you today, each one of us, your servants. And Lord, we thank you for the place of service that you've given each of us, and we thank you for the Holy Ghost. And God, we also stand before you unworthy and nothing good in and of ourselves, but we do thank you that we have the Holy Ghost inside of us. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would move in our midst, that He would speak to our hearts, that He would do His work, and that you would be glorified because of it. Bless this church. Bless these that are represented here from other places. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Have you ever wondered why people just don't listen? Ever wondered why? Pastors, you know, you counsel people and you preach to people and they just don't listen. I mean, they just don't. And it just boggles your mind sometimes. Especially when they come to you and say, "Preacher, I've got a problem. And I need help. I need counsel. I need direction. Can you tell me how I need to serve the Lord in this? What do I need to do?" So you tell them. And then they go off and don't listen. Why? I for so long, you don't understand that. Maybe you have a friend. You're not a pastor, but maybe you had a friend come up to you and begin to pour out their problems to you. And they tell you what they're going through, and they might ask you a piece of advice and say, what do I do? And so you tell them, and they don't listen. And, you know, that's almost understandable if you have someone that comes up to you and they're asking a bunch of different people for advice, and they may take someone else's advice rather than yours. That's understandable. But if you're the only one that they've come to, especially if you're their pastor, and they've come to you and they've asked you what to do and they don't listen, that's foolish. That's foolhardy. That's I don't even know what it is. It's just aggravating is what it is. And your children, you know, you try to tell your children what to do and they don't listen. And but that's just immaturity and things like that. There's always some reason why people don't listen. You know, what we see here in this story is after the capital of Israel is taken into Assyrian captivity, the king of Assyria takes off the citizens of Israel who live in Samaria and the surrounding communities, and he takes them to Assyria and fills the land up with foreigners. We all read the story there. God is angry with these foreigners because they're not serving Him in the land of promise. And He sends lions, and lions are killing them. And so they seek help. The king of Assyria sends one of the priests. The priest comes in and tries to teach them, the Bible says, how they should fear the Lord. Oh, to be that priest, which is a reality for a lot of people. They are sent to a place with people, for people who need help. And their purpose is to teach them how to fear the Lord, how to serve the Lord, how to find that help, and they just do not listen. They do not listen. For a long time, that always bothered me as a pastor when you would give people counsel. And I know that if you're a pastor, if you're a preacher of any sort, a Sunday school teacher, and you've done this, you've experienced that. People that didn't listen. And for a long time, I didn't understand, but I think we have in this text a perfect example of why people do not listen to Bible counsel and Bible preaching. And I want to help us this morning by just trying to answer this question to help us understand what goes through the minds of people, why they do not listen, and why sometimes we find ourselves walking away from a conversation where we've received counsel and we don't listen. Sometimes we are these foreigners in Samaria. And so I just want to give these things to you this morning, and we'll be done. I'll try to get out of the way as quickly as I can. But there's one obvious thing, and I'm going to give you four things this morning. There's one obvious thing that I see in the text of why people do not listen to Bible preaching. Why they don't listen to biblical counsel. Number one, because they have a false identity. It's real simple. A false identity. Verse number 6 tells us that the citizens of Israel, those Samaritans, they were taken out and others were put in their place. And the people that were put in their place in verse 24 were from various different places around the area. They were not Hebrew people. They were not God's people. They were not people of promise. But they lived in a place of promise. They occupied the space of God's people, and they were enjoying the benefits of God's promises, but they were heathens. Now, let me just make this very clear. Just because somebody doesn't take a piece of advice doesn't mean they're lost. Just because you're preaching and one of your church members gets up and leaves and says, I can't believe the preacher preached on that, and they get mad, doesn't mean they're lost. But when someone, as a pattern of life, never accepts the truth, they never believe gospel preaching, they never believe Bible teaching, they never take biblical counsel, it is a pattern that they constantly reject and push away the truth that is given to them, there's a problem there. I can prove that to you. 1 John chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse 5 and 6, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. When you have people that come into a Bible-believing church and all they do is cause problems and complain about the preaching and refuse to obey the Word of God, they've got a problem in their heart. Again, I'm not talking about a Christian who may fall out of the way or a Christian who may disagree with their pastor on a certain issue. I'm talking about people who just do not accept the truth ever in any circumstance. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." That's just a fact. That's not some of them. That's not this is what might happen. It is a fact that you hear His voice. That is, give attention to and understand what is being said from Christ. You hear it. He knows you and you follow Him. You can't be a Christian if you're not a follower of Christ. Those things are synonyms. Those things are the same thing. You have this group that says, you know, if you'll repeat this prayer, the Lord will save you. And, you know, they might not repent of their sins and get right with God for years, if ever. They may continue to live in the world. But as long as they said that prayer and believed in Jesus and they're on their way to heaven, that's false. Because when you get born again, you become a follower of Christ. When you get born again, you're made a new creature. When you get born again, the Spirit of God comes inside of you, and you, by the Spirit of God, understand the things of God. You might not understand them immediately, but when the preacher opens up the book, expounds to you the Scripture, when the Word of God is open to you, and you pray over those things, and you're seeking the will of God, God illuminates your mind and your heart and gives you understanding, and you will not repeatedly and perpetually reject the truth, because it will be against the very nature that God has given you that is new. They don't have that new nature. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 13, "Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He can't. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." If you're spiritual, meaning that you have the Holy Ghost inside of you and your understanding is a spiritual understanding, you judge all things. You examine these things. You weigh these things in the balance. You compare spiritual things with spiritual, Scripture with Scripture, as we would say. And you take those things and you apply them to the life as the best way that you can. But if you're not spiritual, if you're not saved, you can't. You cannot fathom that what the Bible says is actually true. You may say you believe that, but when somebody says, "This is what the Bible says, this is your problem, this is what you need to do, this is what the Bible says," and you look at it and you scratch your head and say, "That just can't possibly be true. There's got to be some other interpretation of that. There's got to be some other translation that says it in a different way. Because what I believe I need to do is just absolutely reasonable. Because they're of the world, they speak the things of the world. And the world heareth them." A false identity. I think that we need to back up and just accept the fact that in modern day United States of America, we preach to people all across the country and we have churches full of folks and all of that. We just got to accept the fact that a lot of the people that say that they're Christians just are not. Not because they might lack standards, not because they might have a falling out with this one or that one, not because they've got problems in their life, but there are people who do nothing but kick against the truth. They're contrary to the truth. And you cannot say that you love the Lord, and you believe the Lord, and you're a follower of Christ when you're walking in the opposite direction of what the Lord is leading you. Oh, to be this priest, to be sent to a place and tell people that, look, this is how you fear the Lord, yet they are incapable of fearing the Lord. And sometimes we preach to people like that. Is they are incapable of accepting the truth and following in the way of God. Now again, just because people disagree or just because people go against something that has been told them doesn't mean they're lost, because there's other reasons why they might go against it. So let me give you a second reason. Verse number 25 through 28 tells us that there were some lions that were sent. These lions would go and slay some of them, kill them. And so it was a problem. They had murderous lions running around their cities. And they realized that the reason these lions had come is because they didn't understand the God of the land in their mind. We're going to get to that a little bit later on, but they didn't understand the Lord. They understood that they offended God and God was judging them. Why did they want to learn how to fear the Lord? Was it because they wanted to glorify God? No. Was it because they saw His worthiness? Was it because they realized their whole purpose in life is to fear the Lord and keep His commandments? Because that's the whole duty of man? No. They had fleshly intentions. You know why people don't listen to your counsel? Because they have fleshly intentions from the start. Do you know why people come in and say, "Preacher, feed me, help me, I need something from God's Word today"? Why do you need something from God's Word today? Because I got a problem that's carnal and I'm uncomfortable, I don't like it, and I need God to fix my problem. They don't care about the Lord. They don't care about glorifying God. They don't care about His worthiness or His honor. All they care about is the lions. They don't want the lions. They don't want opposition in their life. Sounds like the prosperity gospel to me. They want to accept Christ and they want to follow Christ only so that they can have health, wealth, and prosperity. Fleshly intentions. Anytime you honor the truth, the path that you walk is filled with trouble. That is just the fact of life. When you follow the Lord and you honor God and you live according to His Word, you're going to face trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I won't take time to read all of this, but verses 1 through 10, Paul has explained to us there that he came in to preach the Word of God, and because of that, he had troubles, he had distresses, he has all of these things going on. He says, but my perspective, I'm looking on the things of God, and I know that through it all, He's going to be honored with it. And so he continued. He promised us, and the Lord promised us, that if you love me, the world's going to hate you. Don't be amazed. Marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to follow counsel that I've been given. I don't want to follow the preaching because I know good and well, if I do, it's going to cause me problems. You tell somebody that you've got marriage problems. This is how you fix it. And they don't listen. It's because it's going to be hard. They know that if they apply that counsel, if they apply the Word of God, that it's going to be uncomfortable in that relationship. It's going to cause someone to maybe go against them that they are right now, you know, rubbing shoulders with, or it's going to cause some other sort of discomfort or inconvenience or sacrifice in their life, and they don't want that. There are a lot of people that come for preaching, but because the preaching is a hard saying, they don't want to accept it. Now, they might be saved. They might be going through a time in their life where they're just a little away from God, as was preached last night. They've slidden away. They've kind of backslidden. They've kind of gotten away from God and they're carnal. And that happens. We need to get back to the Lord. Amen. And we need to get back to understanding and teaching our people that, look, you've got to count the cost. And you've got to understand that medicine don't taste good. It ain't supposed to taste good. And sometimes there are some side effects, but the side effects are not nearly as bad as the problem that you have. And sometimes you've got to go through the hard things in order to find the solution to the issues that you have. Fleshly intentions. Yes, sir. I want to give you a third thing. Verse 29 through 41. Again, we didn't read this portion, but let's just look at some highlights. Every man, the Bible says in verse 29, every man made gods of their own. That priest had come in there in verse 28, taught them how they should fear the Lord. But then they made gods of their own. It's described about what gods they made according to the nations that they came from. And verse 32 says, so they feared the Lord and made unto themselves the lowest of the priests to the high places. Verse 33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods. The Bible says in verse 41, so these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images. They feared the Lord, and. You know why people don't listen to counsel? Because they're also listening to some other counsel. There's fused idolatry in their life. They fear God and this or that. Which is, by the way, actually not fearing God at all. Because the Bible says in verse 34, unto this day they do after the former manners, they fear not the Lord. They fear the Lord and, which means they don't fear the Lord. You say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm homosexual. Well, you're not a Christian. You know, I fear the Lord and I'm a Democrat. No, you don't fear the Lord. That's not the way it works. I fear the Lord, but I also stand for abortion. I fear the Lord, but I also drink a little. I fear the Lord, but, you know, I got to have my cigarettes and my dip. No, you don't fear the Lord. Because you can't have idols in your life. Because the Bible tells us, as we read in this text over and over again, verse 34, and to this day, they do the former manners, they fear not the Lord. Why do they fear not the Lord? After they say they fear the Lord. Because 35, whom the Lord had made a covenant, charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and stretched out arm, Him shall ye fear. He said at the end of verse 37, and ye shall not fear other gods. The end of verse 38, neither shall ye fear other gods, but the Lord your God ye shall fear. Very clear. You're going to fear God, and the way to fear God is to not fear any other god. And yet that translated in their minds, well, we can fear the Lord and serve other gods. We can go into the temple of God and serve Him and Him alone in there, and then we can go to the high places and serve other gods over there. We can go into the temple of God and serve Him and Him alone and follow through all the traditions and just honor Him and pay our tithes and listen to the Word and follow the law and be kosher inside of there. But we can go over to the groves and we can fear our other gods over there. I can come to church on Sunday morning and I can shout the house down and I can egg the preacher on and I can pay my tithe on Sunday morning and I can dress the way I need to dress. I can come in and sing hymns. But on Monday morning, I'm going to go and do my own thing. I'm going to listen to what I want to listen to and do what I want to do. Well, you don't fear God on Sunday either. There's no such thing as a weekend Christian. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian. And if you fear other gods, any other pleasure, any other desire, any other sin, you don't fear God at all. The very first commandment, ye shall have no other gods before me, right off the bat, because all the other commandments follow along with that. If you're not going to have any other gods before me, and I'm the only God you're going to serve, then you can follow all the other commandments. But if you have other gods, you're going to have a problem with number two and number three and so on and so forth. They don't fear God alone. They have this fused idolatry. Why do people do this? When they're instructed on the nature of God, yet they still assume that God is just this little small God amongst many other gods. You ever been to a gas station and you walk in there and you know, they're Hindus, what they are. The Hindu people, they have a gas station or something. And I'm not saying all Hindu people have gas stations. It just seems that way. But they do have gas stations. A lot of them, they do. It's just the way it is. And, white people farm, Hindu people have gas stations. This is the way it is. So you walk in and this person, you know, and they're checking you out and you're looking around and you see, oh man, look at there. They got a picture. They got a picture of Jesus. Of course, that ain't Jesus. But, you know, I thought, well, this person must be a Christian or a Catholic at least. And then they got Mary. And then they got, you know, Buddha. And then they also got Krishna. And then they also have a picture of Mecca. And all of these things, you're like, what in the world are these people? Well, they're pagans. They're not a Christian. They're not a Muslim. They're not a Buddhist. They're Hindu. They're pagans. And a lot of Christians walk around, a lot of so-called Christians walk around, really in the reality of their life, they're just pagans. They serve the Lord. They love the Lord with a portion of their heart, but they don't love the Lord with all of their heart. And they believe the Lord in some things, but they don't believe the Lord in other things. They can't get past that very first commandment that God gave to them. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It sounds so similar. You cannot serve God and mammon. But the Bible says that they fear the Lord and. You can't do that. You can't do that. That's not the way it works. Why? Well, because of former instructions. Verse 29 through 33, their old habits got hard. They brought in the old gods. They had not unlearned previous error. A lot of people don't listen to your counsel because they have preconceived ideas about what the truth is. Again, they might be saved. I'm not saying they're lost. But they come in there, or they get counsel from you, or they listen to preaching, and they just can't stomach that particular thing that you say because there's another particular thing that they've believed for a long time. One of the hardest groups of people to preach to are independent Baptists. Well, let me tell you something. Independent Baptists believe dogmatically everything that they believe. They don't even know why they believe it, but they believe it. And grandma believed it, and my pastor believes it, and I don't know why we believe it, but that's what we believe, and that's what we're going to do. And you get in there, and you know, I hate to bust your bubble, but independent Baptists ain't right on everything. You ain't right on everything. And somebody opens up the Word of God, and the pastor may open up the Word of God, and buddy, whatever that pastor preaches is a little bit different from what their last four preachers preached, and they just cannot see what the Word of God says because of the traditions that they have in their life. I thank God for traditions. I think there ain't nothing better than an independent Baptist. I mean, so what would you be if you weren't an independent Baptist? Well, I'd be plumb ashamed if I wasn't an independent Baptist. But we just sometimes don't get things. I'm not right on everything. And when I am in church and a preacher opens up the Word of God and clearly tells me from God's Word what God said, and it rubs my cat the wrong way, I need to turn my cat around. I need to accept what God said rather than what I've always thought. They have these former instructions, these former beliefs that they carry on into their life. Then they have a failure to instill. Verse 34 through 41, again, we won't take time, but the problem here was they were taught what was true, but they didn't instill it. They didn't apply it. They wanted to believe it mentally, but they didn't want to practice it in their lives. They failed to instill it. The laws of God, notice what he says. Let's see. Now, let me try to find this verse here. I hope that ain't mine out there going. I might have pressed my button or something like that in my pocket. We'll see. But the Bible tells us that they had this priest that came in. The priest began to teach them and preach to them after the law. Verse 34, unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinance. You know what that tells us? When these foreigners came into the land of Samaria, by God's law, what the Bible says is any stranger dwelling among you in the gates of your city were bound by the law. So they might have been foreigners, but when they lived in Samaria, they were under God's law. God's law now was theirs. So they had it. It was theirs. But they didn't instill it. They didn't institute it fully in their lives. And so they say, oh, I believe you, preacher. I really appreciate that counsel. And they just go and they do believe you. They think that's the best thing for them to do. They hear the preaching and they walk away saying, man, I needed that. But they just don't apply it. They just fail to apply it. Why? Well, a lot of times they go and they pull their cell phone out and they start playing Candy Crush or whatever. They get on Facebook and their mind just gets somewhere else. They didn't intend to do that, just the way it is. They just failed to instill what was preached to them. They didn't chew on it. They didn't think about it. They didn't digest it. They just vomited it back up and walked away. Also because they had a faint intellect. Faint intellect. If you look in chapter 18, this blew my mind. Chapter 18, verse 22. You got Judah now. Judah's being threatened by Assyria. And they had their righteous king, Hezekiah. And the Bible tells us that this enemy that had come against them was trying to tell them, look, you just need to go ahead and serve us because your God ain't going to help you. Your God ain't going to help you because, verse 22, but if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? What was the Assyrian saying here? The Assyrian was saying, those groves, those high places, those place of idols, isn't that your God? Isn't that Jehovah? What that means is this. They had a faint intellect. They thought that the very idols that they were serving were God. They said, we do fear the Lord. Just like the children of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai made that golden calf and Aaron, this is the gods that brought you out of land. This is Jehovah. This is Elohim. This is your God. This right here. Just like people look at the picture of long-haired hippie Jesus on the wall. That's my God. I remember being a little boy and my mom used to have one of those pictures on the wall when I was a little boy, and I had a dirty mouth. Before I got saved, I cussed like a sailor, because my daddy cussed like a sailor, just the way it was. But I would not cuss in front of that picture. I didn't want Jesus to see me. And that seems very silly, but that's the mind of people. And they go into these contemporary churches and they say that this is the way to fear the Lord. This is the way. Man, we got to have a rock concert. God's pleased with that. We got to put on our Abercrombie and Fitch t-shirts, and we got to have our ripped up jeans, and we got to have our contemporary music, and we got to have this and that because God is pleased with this. And they fail to understand that God is not pleased with that. They worship Him in a false way. And these Assyrians, they certainly thought that those very groves and high places that Hezekiah put out of the way, they said, you're putting your own God out of the way. Those are not our gods. They didn't understand. The Bible tells us to put away the gods which your father served. Put them away. Let me give you one more thing. We've seen these three things. They had a false identity. They weren't even true believers. They had fleshly intentions. Their motives were not right. They weren't in the right place. They had a fused idolatry. They failed to put away the gods that they had previously served. They failed to put those things out of their life, and they wanted to do both. And you can't ride the fence. But let's just bring it back to the priest. I ain't saying it's the priest's fault, because the priest did the best he could. But you know, when you read the Scripture, the Bible tells us in our text in 17, 2 Kings, that they had a priest. And that's a good thing. But any other time you see it, it's priests. The priests. A company of priests. The city of the priest. When you would go to the temple, it wasn't just one priest that served in the temple all the time. It was a rotation of them. Now, I don't believe in having two pastors. As far as not in a single church. Now, I've got several pastors. As a pastor, I have counselors that I go to. I have men that I consider to be my pastors. But there is one man that if he says, this is what I need to do, then I'm taking his advice over the others because he is my primary pastor. So I don't believe in having co-pastors and things like that. But I do believe in having youth pastors and assistant pastors. I do also believe in having evangelists come in from time to time. Why? Now that seems so unimportant. Again, we as independent Baptists have it in our mind that we believe in one pastor and only one pastor. Well, so do I. One pastor. One man who leads a congregation as the bishop or the pastor of that church. But he cannot do it all by himself and be successful. So why do you believe that? Because the Bible tells us in the New Testament, even so on, he gave pastors. He gave bishops. He gave evangelists. You know, all of these is plural. All of these kinds of things. God gave us men to come in. By the way, if you're pastoring here, thank God for the evangelist that comes through your church that echoes what you say. You know, one of the things that used to aggravate me, and I'm sure it aggravates you if you're pastoring here, that you'd come in and you'd preach your heart out Sunday by Sunday, Wednesday by Wednesday, and the people just sat there and didn't listen. But then the evangelists come in and preach the exact same thing that you've been preaching on, and they flood the altars, they get right with God. That used to aggravate me, you know what? But I've stepped back and realized that's just my own jealousy. I just thank God my people got right. Well, why is it? Because the evangelist come in and he had some sort of touch of God on him and he brought the Lord in with him and he had power that I didn't have? Well, no. Built on what I had already begun building. It's not that they came down to the altar because of what he did. They come down to the altar because of what God was doing in their heart. And God used both me as their pastor and that evangelist to come in and echo what was being said. The Bible tells us that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8, the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." And then as you read Proverbs, it just mentions the father. Most of the time, just the father. Does that mean that he just said, well, let's just forget about mama for a little while? No. Because included with father is mother. It takes a father and a mother. That's why we believe in homes stand together. That's why we don't believe in divorce. That's why we don't believe that two mommies can raise little boys and two daddies can raise little girls, because it takes a father and a mother. It takes two different sides. It takes that, you know, those echoes. One pastor coming in, doing the best he can, he still needs somebody to come in and echo what he's saying. Because God works in the multitude of counselors, and this priest did the best he could, but this priest had his family with him, because the Bible says that they dwelt there, but he taught, meaning he had his wife, he had his children, but he was the only priest. And those people heard him, but they never heard an echo. They never heard a witness. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And they didn't have that. You know why sometimes people don't listen? It's because they have few instructors. They don't hear it echoed. So I just want to encourage you. Man, have a revival. That's why these meetings are so good. Because you get to come in and what the preacher's been saying all along, that guy's also saying. And it's suddenly beginning to kind of make sense, because now I'm taking a little bit more seriously. Not that I disrespect my pastor, but man, I'm hearing this again. And it just begins to ring in your heart. We see that in the end, though, and I'm closing. In the end of it all, when people just don't listen because of a false identity, because of fleshly intentions, or fused idolatry, or few instructors, whatever the reason, one or all, you know who suffers? The children. Verse 41 tells us, so these nations fear the Lord and serve their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. And if you go all the way to the Gospels, you have a whole separate nation now called the Samaritans. This is the birth of the Samaritans. This is the birth of a people group whom Jesus said, ye worship what ye know not. You don't even know what you worship. And we have created generations of people that come along that they don't even know the God they're worshiping, because mom and daddy, grandma and granddaddy, and so on and so forth didn't listen to the preaching years ago, and now their children are suffering in worldliness. Their children forsake the church and go to the world. Why? Because mama didn't listen and daddy didn't listen and grandpa and grandma didn't listen. And all those years later, these children are still suffering. All those years later, those children are still wallowing in sin and in false doctrine. Why? Because this group of people failed to listen. So I want to encourage you. When that Bible's open, have an ear to hear. Listen to what is being said. Father, we thank you for what you've said to us today. Lord, we thank you for your word. And God, I thank you for Brother Rutledge. I thank you for Unity Baptist Church. I thank you, God, for this meeting that's been put on, and what a blessing it's been to my heart. Lord, I pray that you do your will in the remainder of this service, and the preachers that stand and preach, God, I pray you anoint them. And Lord, may you give us ears to hear. May you give us a heart to understand. Lord, may you give us a wherewithal by your grace to go out and perform that which you have told us to do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.